This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hi, everyone. It's Tuesday, October 14th at 4 p.m. Central Time, and that means it's time for Wells Tech, episode 363. My name is Sally Draper. I am one of the co-hosts of the Wells Tech podcast, a podcast about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And normally at this time, you'd be hearing my co-host Martin Spriggs introduce the show. So question about where Martin is might be popping into your mind. And I just want to let everyone know that Martin had some surgery this week. It was a little bit unexpected, but he's doing very well and on the road to recovery. He won't be able to join us this week and probably for a few weeks into the future, but that's okay. We're going to hold down the fort and keep the Wells Tech goodness going. And we'll give our very best wishes to Martin and his family as he is on the road to recovery. And along those lines, I want to tell you that I have actually set up a page on the Wells Tech Wiki. Let's see if I can share my screen. Thought you guys might want to wish Martin well on his recovery efforts as well. And so I made a page on the Wells Tech Wiki. We'll have a link in the show notes. And it's just a quick little form where you can put your name and share your thoughts or a favorite Bible verse or a prayer for Martin's recovery, and we'll make sure and get all those messages to Martin, and I know he would appreciate your well wishes. So if you're so inclined, check out the link in the show notes and send Martin some goodwill, and he will appreciate that. All right, so now it's time to dive into the topic for the day. And those of you that joined us last week may remember that we announced we were going to be going back to our book discussion. It's kind of a Wells Tech tradition that we study a book or discuss a book all throughout kind of the school year of our podcasting season. And this year's book that we chose is called What's Best Next. It's by author Matt Herman, and you can pick up a copy over on Amazon. They have in hardcover if you're like me and like the traditional feel of a book in your hands. But they also have a Kindle version. I think the price is only like $3.50 for the Kindle version. So if you want to read along, grab a copy of What's Best Next by Matt Herman. And we are just getting started. Last month, we talked about the introduction to the book. And so this month, our goal was to get through part one of the book. And I'll just tell you, the book has like 24 chapters. They're short chapters, you know, it's not that lengthy of a book. But he grouped the chapters into parts. And there are, let's see, 7 different parts to the book. So that's what we're going to be doing each month as a part of the book. And part one was up for this week. I was a little uncomfortable having a book discussion with just one person. So I'm very fortunate that Pastor Rob Gunther, one of our Wells Tech Hall of Famers, was able to join me for the book discussion. He is actually attending Pastor's Conference right now, and so he couldn't join me live. We found a time yesterday that worked Alaska time to New Ulm time, and Pastor Gunther from Grace in Kenai, Alaska, joined me for the book discussion. Let's see if I can queue up that video, and we'll listen to that now. Joining me today is Pastor Rob Gunther from Grace in Kenai, Alaska, and also Wells Tech Hall of Famer. Rob, we really appreciate you pinch hitting for Martin today as we discuss part one of What's Best Next.
Glad to be here. I'm honored to be a part of the show today. Thanks.
Excellent. And I know that you read the book, What's Best Next, already, and gave it some good reviews, and so I thought you were a logical person to help me out in this book discussion, especially since there's some really great content here that I'd love to get your perspective on. So I guess right off the bat, what I got from it was he needed to kind of set the stage. Why a productivity book? Why are we talking about productivity at all? I don't know. That's what your take on it was.
Yeah, I think it really resonated with me because a lot of this is what we pastors are living. It's self-directed knowledge work. as one of his highlights. I thought he almost sounded a little defensive, like, hey, it's okay to talk productivity and still be Christian. But he did, I thought, made a good case in this first section for why this is something that we can and ought to be talking about. So.
Definitely. And you bring out the concept of knowledge work. He contrasted that to the fact that we used to be a lot more industrial, and now we're kind of on our own to deal with and be creative in this space that that we maybe aren't quite as prepared for. In an industrial kind of situation, you're told what to do and given the task, and you know, it's more repetitive and things, whereas now certainly pastors and teachers and many others are in a space that they don't have somebody looking over their shoulder and telling them what to do all the time. Instead, they have to figure out that what's best next question.
Right. It brings a lot of freedom, but there's also a lot of responsibility, you know, and a lot of challenges there. One of my disappointments, I guess, in this opening section is he talked about what he saw as the big challenges of information overload, which I totally agree with, mm-hmm. and this ambiguity of what should I be doing now. But he didn't really, from a Christian perspective, talk about my sinful nature is a big part of the problem in that knowledge work. Because my laziness, and personal confession time, I guess, on air, my laziness is a big part of that challenge. I could be doing so many other things right now than what God would have me do. So that's a big part of it. When there's not someone looking over my shoulder, I'm free to get sidetracked on less than good things, I guess. So.
Yeah, that's funny that you bring it up in that way, because I just had a discussion like this with my college-age son, and how it's really fun to dream about next semester rather than do the homework that's due for this semester or whatever, you know. And you can say that dreaming about next semester and planning your coursework is a noble deed, you know. So you can find ways to kind of justify your procrastination, basically, and inefficiencies and stuff. So very true that the sinful nature is at play, and there's lots of shiny distractions out there.
Yeah. And I forget who said it first, but Satan loves to take good things and uses them to distract us from the best things. So mm-hmm. I appreciate that about the title, too. What's best that I could be doing, not just what's good.
Absolutely. And in chapter 2 of the book, he brings out it's not all about efficiency, getting more done in less time. That's kind of the way we like to attack it, that if I could just do more, if I could just be trim off some time from what it takes to get this task done or whatever. And, you know, that's all well and good, but you could do that kind of ad infinitum and not really get anywhere in terms of what's best.
Right, right. I love the quote from Peter Drucker, nothing is less productive than to make more efficient what should not be done at all.
That is a good one.
Yeah, it's not just getting more done, it's getting the right things done. So.
Absolutely. And you know, if we're overloaded, we kind of just want to tick things off the list. We want to feel accomplishment, you know, by getting something done. And so we do things that are easier or more efficient to get done, or we look for ways to make it more efficient. But it's more about being effective, getting the right things done, like you said. And then that begs the question, the lead into chapter 3 is, how do we know what the right things are to do? So this is where the rubber kind of meets the road.
Yeah, yeah, and he's going to get into that more in later chapters too, of determining the right thing by looking at what does God's Word have to say. But I liked right in chapter 3 too how he even gives this history of productivity, the four generations, how it started out with just organization and lists, and then from there, hey, maybe we need to look forward to the future. They added goals and calendaring in the second generation. In the third generation, they said, well, we have to make sure they're good goals, so they added values to those goals. And then in the fourth generation, he added the principles that determine the values. So I thought that was kind of a good overview. It seems like he's trying to push now we need a fifth generation that says let's let God's Word mandate what the proper values are, the proper principles, rather, that guide our values and our goals. So he's going to try and focus in on God, and rightly so.
And, you know, it was almost like a light bulb moment for me when I was reading through this the first time, like, oh yeah, that's what I say on Sunday morning, that God's first and that I live my life for Him. But then to actually take that and to apply that to what I do on Monday through Friday and my job, even a job in a Christian organization, I just hadn't made that connection that by living my life for God, then I'm doing that with my productivity. And he does bring out in this chapter that, you know, we have that sinful nature working against us. That's the ultimate villain that's against us in this. You know, we consider things that we're doing maybe not very fulfilling or whatever. We have disconnects in our lives, and we need to put our money where our mouth is, kind of. What we value as important, that's where our time should be. And, you know, every Sunday morning I say what's most important to me, and then I need to translate that into my productivity.
Yeah, it's where faith hits life. I think, you know, Martin Luther was big on teaching the doctrine of vocation, and I think Perman understands that well. That's coming across throughout this book, that where our faith meets life, really productivity, we're talking sanctification here. How I live my faith in the day-to-day moments of what I'm going to choose to do with my time at any given time. Am I going to choose to serve myself or choose to serve my God?
Right.
He's going to highlight why we want to choose the latter coming up in the next chapter, I think, especially where it's gospel-focused and because of the gospel. But he did, here's another cool quote, I thought, in the end of chapter 3, maybe going into 4, to begin with God means to begin with the gospel. And he's going to highlight that even more. It's coming up. But I think that's really a good point. He says, this is really what it's all about. We're not to be productive because we find value in our accomplishments, but we find value in what our Savior has declared us to be, and so we want to show our thanks and gratitude. So good thoughts in that God-centered section.
Absolutely. One more point he brought out was that God does a better job of planning our lives than we do. And boy, how many times have I seen that proven? Many, many times. And I really was like, yeah, he is pretty good at that, isn't he? So
yeah, I think Perman had a good balance between we are called to take control of our some aspects of our lives. He highlighted Genesis 1, you know, go be fruitful, multiply, be productive. But he also balanced that well with, we can't be in control of everything, and don't try to be. So it was a good balance, I thought. He almost sounds Lutheran, almost.
Almost, yeah. Chapter 4, does God care about getting things done? So, you know, ultimately, does God want us to have a productivity system? Does he want us to be productive?
Yeah, and I think he defended that point well, that it's an unequivocal yes. God wants us to go to work for the kingdom. That's clear throughout the scriptures, no doubt about it. So
mm-hmm.
He highlighted it well, I think, that there's no real distinction between learning to be productive in our lives and living our lives of faith. This is really what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's one particular verse that he brings out, and he mentions it over and over again. It's Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And in different places, he calls that like God's productivity verses or whatever. What'd you think of that?
I think that's something you find throughout the scriptures, too. You know, Jesus said, we've got to work while it's day. He looks for that productivity and fruits of faith that Paul talks about so often. And I don't picture Paul sitting around a lot, you know, what's on Netflix like I do. I see him going, how can I plan my next trip to go do what's best next? So I think we have other examples in the scriptures of that. Paul didn't just write it, he lived it too. So yeah, those were his go-to verses, Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Be productive, yeah. It's pleasing to God.
Right, and the fact that, you know, if I did just sit around and wait for productivity to come knocking on my door, that's not going to happen. So it is, in that respect, if God tells us to be productive and that it's God-pleasing, then it does take some intentionalization. It does take work, and we should be looking to God for that power, but you know, also maintaining that sanctified view of it, that this is my life in Christ, not that I'm gaining his favor or anything by the works that I do, but that I have that already, and I'm free to do these works in service to him.
Yep, that's a key point. And he put this quote at the end, we are productive not to gain acceptance, but because we already have acceptance in Christ. And I think that's huge. I'm not working to get God's favor. I'm not working hard to fill up my own pride up that look how much I accomplished. But I know what my Savior's done for me, and I want to live to show my thanks. So here's how I'm going to do my very best for him each day. Another key thing, I don't know if he highlights it in this section or even if he's going to cover it later, but we rejoice that we're forgiven, too, for the times that we're not so productive, for the times that we're self-centered. And he put that well, too. I don't remember which chapter it was, but it was in these first four. I think he said something like, the solution is not to try harder. Trying harder is not the answer. Forgiveness is the answer. And how true that is, that I'm forgiven for the times I've messed this up, but that forgiveness is also what motivates me to go try to be more productive for my Savior's sake. So,
good Absolutely. Stuff. It is good stuff. And, you know, I read Getting Things Done, and I've tried to, you know, keep my mind like water and achieve the inbox zero thing. This was just really refreshing to me. And from right off the bat, this first section, I felt like he's on to something, and he's got me thinking differently about my productivity, and I was appreciative of that. So.
He adds the missing piece that David Allen and Peter Drucker and stuff don't get at, namely the gospel, which is so huge to us, obviously.
Definitely. So, well, Pastor Gunther, I certainly appreciate the discussion. It was great to have you on today, and I'm going to let you go because I understand you are off to Pastor's Conference very soon, and just appreciate you squeezing in this time for us.
Well, it's very much my pleasure, and keeping everyone in my prayers over there, and God's blessings on what you guys do. It's much appreciated.
Thank you. All right, guys, that was the interview with Pastor Rob Gunther where we talked about what's best next. During the playing of that, I got a message from Pastor Kobler, who's watching the show today, and he mentioned that his reception of the signal was sounding like a bunch of chirps combined with the audio track. And my apologies. I hope that now that I've stopped playing the video, the audio is straightened out. And if somebody's watching and can let me know for sure, that would be great. What I'll do on the back end of this is put the video into this show so that it does have good audio. I'm trying to work some technical magic to make all this happen as a solo act today. And normally Martin's the audio video guy. So I'll work through those issues and hopefully do it better even next week when I have the opportunity again. So thanks for sticking with us through that. All right. So we've done the introduction to what's best next. We've done part one. Next month, we'll take a look at part two, which is gospel-driven productivity, a new way to look at getting things done. So that's chapters 5 through 10. If you're reading along, that'll be probably about the second week of November. So yeah, stay with it, and we hope you're enjoying it. All right, next on the Wells Tech docket is news in tech. And interestingly, I found a lot of news in tech about money this week, starting with the fact that Kmart says that their payment systems have been hacked, not affecting Sears or the Kmart online, Kmart.com, but their in-store payment systems have been hacked. And at the same time, Dropbox is saying they haven't been hacked, even though a group of hackers is claiming that they stole nearly 7 million Dropbox usernames and password combinations. Dropbox says it's not true. So just all kinds of news around hacking and personal and financial security. And it's good to know that Pastor Kobler says it's cleared up now. That's great. Thank you, Pastor. Let's see. Back to the financial news, Apple Pay is making its way to stores this week. So apparently there was some internal memos that got leaked or whatever that said Apple Pay is coming. You might remember we talked about Apple Pay coming with iPhone 6 and 6 Plus so that owners of the smartphones will be able to just wave their phone to pay for things. And no payment information is needed to be stored at the individual vendor stores. And so I think, you know, the more we see these kind of articles like Kmart and Home Depot and different ones having trouble with their payment systems, even potential hackers or non-hackers, I think we're going to see more and more moves toward these secure financial systems that don't allow them to get access to your bank accounts and things. And Apple Pay is just the tip of the iceberg there as we see more and more of that. And of course, we'll want to be monitoring that because electronic payment for our electronic donations to congregations and nonprofit organizations can take advantage of different payment methodologies as well. I think we'll be quite a ways behind the curve as things change, but I think we'll definitely want to know what's going on in this space for the ability to have electronic payments in our congregation. Also in the news, I just came across an article about Samsung. They announced a 5 times faster Wi-Fi technology that they've broken through some barriers. It's allowing potentially a 1 gigabyte movie file to be transferred from one device to another in under 3 seconds. That's like lightning fast compared to where we are now. Now, they caution that you still got to have that internet capabilities. This is just the router that's allowing this kind of thing, and it's not going to happen overnight. You know, this is progress, but we're not going to see the effect of this for a year or more into our future. And even then, you know, the bandwidth has to come down to us at a high enough speed to really see the difference. So I just think it was exciting to see that Wi-Fi and that kind of technology is progressing, and in the future it'll be even faster. We'll think of what we have now at a broadband speed, which we consider really fast, to be like old dial-up or whatever. So we'll see how things unfold there. That's a little bit of news in tech. Next up, I just want to say that for a ministry resource, I came across an article, or I think actually Jason Winjet tagged the article, 8 ways your church website can welcome first-time visitors before they arrive. And I thought this was a pretty helpful list, something you might want to consider in terms of your own church website. And one of the things it focuses on is allowing people to understand your church and be oriented to your church before they visit the church. So allowing them to get the church experience online, answering questions about how long your service normally is, what the dress code is, what they can expect in terms of music that's part of your service. So giving a sampling, maybe some short videos in terms of the music that's part of your service, what you expect and what happens in terms of children, what the options are for children, and then you know, whatever you say as you advertise these components of your service, make sure you back it up if they do indeed visit your church. And then they just want you to be sure your website is up to date, that you test your website, that it's correct and current, and that it works well on mobile devices. So I think those are some really good questions. Perhaps your evangelism committee is meeting soon, and you could highlight these issues and consider them for your church website if you haven't addressed them yet. That would be news in tech. All right, next up, we usually talk about tips and picks, and I just will give you one today since Martin's not here to balance me out. I just recently came back from the Michigan District Teachers Conference, and it was a great adventure for me to get to be there with a wonderful group of people out in Michigan. And one of the things I presented on was the Google Chrome browser. And in Google Chrome, you can have things called extensions, which extend the capabilities of your browser. We've talked about this on previous podcasts, but one in particular that I'm enjoying quite a bit lately is called Adblock. And it's something I can kind of forget about because I install it and it sits up in my browser. It's a little small icon that looks like a stop sign with a hand on it. And I know it's working for me because I don't see advertisements on websites, which is pretty much what it exists for. It is blocking advertisements. So, for instance, if I were to go to the PicMonkey website, normally PicMonkey has an advertisement up at the top of the page, but I never even see that, and it even collapses the area that would normally display that advertising that would be pushing the rest of the page down a ways, and instead I see the PicMonkey site, and I can easily begin to navigate on the site and do things there without having the annoyance of advertising. So Chrome extensions sit in your browser and work for you on your behalf. If you go to the link that I'll include in the show notes, you can just click a button to install AdBlock into your Chrome, and then you will begin to, well, you probably won't notice anything. You'll have that ad-free experience as you surf the web, because it'll just get rid of them for you and collapse those areas of the screen. So it also blocks pop-up advertising and things like that. So check out AdBlock for Google Chrome browser, and hopefully you'll enjoy your browsing experience. All right. Next up, I want to shift over to our segment called Wells Insider. And our idea with this segment was that we would share things available primarily through the Wells.net website that you may not be aware of, or perhaps through the Connect website or whatever, the Wells Cloud. And today, I want to point out to you the fact that there's an area of the website that's presented by women's ministry. So there's all kinds of resources specifically for women's ministry efforts. And today, just focusing on a page of devotions for women. And there's a long list of devotions specifically designed with women in mind. And many times when you click on them, there's even a PDF version of the devotion available for printing. Now, being involved in several different women's Bible studies over the years, and also having a husband serving as a pastor who needed to lead women in devotions for various women's events or whatever, having devotions like this that you can pull from for women's Bible study or to start a ladies' organization meeting or whatever is a real benefit. And these are here. They're written by women. They're designed for women's studies. And I think they would be a benefit to pastors as well as women Bible study leaders of the congregation. And that's not all. If you do a little more exploring on the women's ministry area of the Wells.net site, you're going to find things like Advent by candlelight, Bible studies by books or topical Bible studies, other ministry ideas for women's ministry groups and prayers. So check out the women's ministry area of the Wells.net site, and specifically the devotions for women page. I think you'll enjoy it. All right, then we should move on to talk about an upcoming conference. I hope that everyone who's listening has marked their calendars, and if you haven't done it yet, do it now. July 9th through 11th, 2015 will be our first Wells Tech Conference. Wells Tech Conference 2015, being held at Country Springs Hotel and Conference Center in Waukesha, Wisconsin. So we hope to meet many of you who are part of our virtual Wells Tech family face-to-face at the conference next summer. I'm excited to say that we just nailed down over 50 presentation slots, and they'll be offered multiple times. So a wide variety of presentations covering school and church topics. There's topics for system administrators. There's various technology tools that'll be demonstrated and taught. I'm trying to think, some church office-centric breakout sessions and many, many others. There's lots to do with video. So if you're looking to start working through video things or whatever, we're going to have all of that at Wells Tech Conference. I'm really looking forward to the event. I think it's going to be beneficial for many ways. You certainly can get much from the pre-conference workshops as well as the many breakout sessions that we're preparing for you. But I also think there's a lot to be gained from the networking that's part of being part of the Wells Tech community, and the fact that you can call on each other and rely on each other, know who experts are in different areas, and you know, just adding to the fact that we're not just a virtual community, but we have these face-to-face opportunities, I think is super valuable. So please come and join us. The last day of the conference, I believe, or one of the days of the conference anyway, we're going to be celebrating the 400th Wells Tech episode. We're going to have a 400th episode party. at Wells Tech Conference 2015. And we'd love for you to be a part of that as well. So make your plans now, folks. I also want to say that you need to know that we would be happy to take your iPhone 4 off your hands. I'm guessing many people are in the market for a new iPhone with the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus rolling out. And iPhone 4s that are part of the AT&T or T-Mobile network or that are unlocked would be a huge benefit to the ministry in Malawi. There are national pastors in Malawi who are out in the bush, and cell phone technology is a huge breakthrough for them. So if we could repurpose your iPhone as a donation to the Malawi mission field, that would be great. And we have a page on wells.net that tells all about that. And I will definitely throw a link in the show notes to that page. So if you have an iPhone 4 and you're willing to donate it, just send it on off to us and we will get it over to Malawi for the national pastors. We thank you in advance for that effort. All right, I think it's time for some community feedback. And I grabbed some feedback from the DIGO website, starting with an article tagged by Jason Winjet called The Top 7 Free and Open Source Church Management Software Solutions. So this was news to me that there were so many free and open source software solutions out there. Church management software is usually used for dealing with all the data associated with keeping up with your members. So address and phone number records, you know, whether they're communicant members or on the cradle roll or a member of the choir or whatever it is. You might even use it to manage your financial side of things as well, or track your attendance. And who knew that there were 7 free or open source versions out there? Things like Church Track, Church Info, Accelerate, Working Church, Cahaba Works, Agape Works, and Church Equip. And for each of the ones listed in this article, they list pros and cons for many of them. So if you're in the market for this, maybe it's worth spending some time evaluating the different ones that are covered in this article. Interestingly, Jason also tagged an article called The Pros and Cons of Open Source Church Management Software, where they talk about what it is you're getting yourself into if you do go that open source route. You know, that's great if it's free, but is it really free if you need a lot of help with it? And you're going to have to contact their tech support and buy a tech support product in order to implement it, you know. Or if it's out there and it's in the open source world and they just decide to quit developing it and you're kind of left stuck, invested in a software, excuse me, that is no longer being developed. So definitely worth doing your research and understanding what you're getting yourself into if you go with an open source solution like that. So kind of companion articles that may be worth a read if you're looking for a church management software solution. A couple of more links that were shared on DIGO, one from Pastor Tim Wagner, or actually a couple from Pastor Tim Wagner. The first one is from the Bible Hub website, and it's specifically BiblePick.com. Let me do a quick screen share for those of you watching video. You've probably seen the Bible Hub website before. It's got all kinds of different translations and different commentaries and sermon studies and things like that are out there as well. But on there, apparently a subsite of it is this BiblePick.com, where you can make things that are Pinterest worthy. Martin, are you listening? We're talking Pinterest here. And what you can do is put in any Bible verse and then select one of their pretty backgrounds for the Bible verse, and it will turn it into an image with text overlay. So you don't have to do a whole lot of work, but you have something that you could share on Pinterest or perhaps Facebook or Twitter or wherever, that's a nice kind of infographic kind of feel. So you just click on a background image. And I had a hard time figuring out how to put the text in, because it starts on Genesis 1:1. But I realized finally that I could type or select the Bible book and the verse that I wanted right up here at the top of the page. And then it applies to the image. So you have to do it kind of verse by verse. And then the Bible translations that are available are a little bit limited. I don't think that you can choose the NIV, at least not in this pick thing, but you can choose a few others that are listed at the bottom of the screen. It defaults to being the King James. But it is a fun tool to play with, and it might be appropriate. Just something to add to your tool belt to help with your social media kind of sharing needs where you don't have to do a lot of image editing yourself. Thanks, Pastor Wagner, for sharing that. In addition, he shared a video link, and you guys can check this out. I actually had seen this video. I think it's pretty well done, and it basically is kind of calling people out that they're spending too much time on their mobile devices and not enough time in face-to-face kind of relationships. So this guy does it somewhat rap style, kind of talks through the downside of not being engaged in the world around you and the fact that you need to turn off the phone and not be so in tune to social media that you're ignoring face-to-face relationships. So the title of the video is Can We Auto-Correct Humanity? I think it's really well done and perhaps something that you could add or use even with like a teen Bible study or something like that. So a good thing to tag. So thanks for sharing that, Pastor Wagner. Finally, over on Digo, I tagged a link to Boomerang for Gmail. And again, this is thanks to my good friends in Michigan. Hi, everybody. Hope you're watching since we talked about Wells Tech while I was there at teacher conference. One of the things that someone suggested to me was that Boomerang would allow you to schedule your emails to send later and also send email reminders and email tracking so you can see who opened your email or whether they've opened it or not. Someone suggested even that it would kind of nag you if they haven't opened it, it would automatically resend to them or continue to try to contact them on your behalf. So if you're looking for that kind of tool and you're a Gmail user, perhaps you want to check out Boomerang for Gmail. Sounds like a nifty tool. Kind of rang a bell with me. Maybe you guys that have watched for a long time have heard us talk about it before. I just have never been a user, so just the way someone described it at teachers conference, I thought it was worth looking into. So check it out if you have that need. All right, guys, a little bit of an abbreviated show today, especially since we're missing our fearless leader, Martin Spriggs. Martin, hopefully you're getting better every minute that I'm talking here. And next week, I'm going to be on my own again, I assume. I'm pretty comfortable that it'll be a few weeks before Martin's back. So I was kind of up in the air about what to talk about, and I decided it would be best for me to do something I'm really comfortable with and excited to share with you, and that's a quick how-to overview of using Google Sites. Google Sites has become more and more of a tool that I go to for creating websites kind of on the fly. We have our Wells Tech Wiki on Google Sites, and I've used it for a variety of purposes. Recently created a website for the Minnesota District Teachers Conference where they do online registration and post their conference breakout schedule and things like that. And I use Google Sites for that. So I don't necessarily go by a domain name to associate with my Google site, although I think you can do that. But it's just a really quick go-to tool if I want to create a little website around a particular topic. And I think in 15 or 20 minutes of overview, I can show you how to do it with great confidence. There's a few things that you need to know to get started, but once you wrap your head around those, I think kind of the sky's the limit. It becomes a tool that is your palette for creating things on the web. And so I would encourage you to tune in next week when I'm going to walk you through the how-to of setting up a Google site. And that will bring us to the end of our show where we usually share featured videos. And today is no different. Today I have not one, but two featured videos that I've added to our Vimeo likes page. So that's the place where we tag Vimeo videos that we think are worthy of ministry applications, basically. And the videos that I tagged this week are Luther's morning and evening prayer set in typography. I'll just start it just a little bit so you get an idea, perhaps, if you're watching online. Maybe I won't start it. Anyway, it's very well done. I think you'd be impressed if you check out the videos, Luther's morning and evening prayers, done in type. And again, I think they might be worthwhile for using to start or in Bible studies or things like that, something that you would enjoy sharing in a Bible study setting or for home devotions or whatever. Really well done. And we'll have both of them embedded on the show notes. And I hope that you enjoy them. That's going to wrap it up for this week, guys. Martin, if you're watching, we want you to feel better soon and hurry back to Wells Tech. We missed you. And everyone else, I thank you for watching. I hope you tune in next week. I haven't mentioned where you can find us. That's over at wellstech.wells.net. We have links there to everything from Facebook to Pinterest to Google Plus and Twitter. We have a Wells Tech listserv. You can email us at wellstech.wells.net. And let me just do one more quick shout out for the fact that I will have a link in the show notes over on wellstech.wells.net to Well Wishes for Martin page on the Wells Tech Wiki, where you can share your name and your thoughts or a favorite Bible verse or whatever for Martin, and I'll be sure to get those messages to him. So all of that and more on wellstech.wells.net. So please visit, come back often, and bring your friends. Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll see you next week.